So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 3, entitled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, Text Number 24. Puriyam kadachit krida bhe yadu bhoj kumar kai kopita munayah shepo bhagavan mat kovida. The city of Dwarka. Kadachit, once upon a time. Kridabhi, by sporting activities. Yadu, the descendants of Yadu. Bhoja, the descendants of Bhoja. Kumarakai, princes. Kopita became angry. Munayah, the great sages. Shepuhu cursed. Bhagavat, the personality of Godhead. Mata desire. Kovida cognizant. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Translation. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties. And thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Purport. The associates of the Lord who were playing the part of princely descendants of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties were not ordinary living entities. It is not possible that they could offend any saintly man or sage, nor could the sages, who were all pure devotees of the Lord, be influenced to anger by any of the sporting activities of the princes born in the holy dynasties of Yadu or Bhoja, wherein the Lord Himself appeared as a descendant. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendants of the Lord, who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reactions of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One should therefore take great care and attention not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. Om Agyantimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa-sindhu-vyayivacha Patitanam-pavane-vyo-vaishnavi-vyo-namo-namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama pastimes of Lord are totally transcendental. They are beyond the three modes of material nature. That's why common men cannot understand them. There is always a hidden meaning behind these pastimes. So we need a lot of guidance and mercy from senior devotees who have seen the truth. One who has seen the truth can show the truth. And one who has not seen himself, he cannot show. So common men are blinded by darkness of ignorance. These lower modes, mode of passion and mode of ignorance, they cover their eyesight. They cannot see anything clearly. They cannot see things which are distant, and then they cannot see things which are near also. Because Lord covers himself with his yog maya potency or mahamaya potency. It's the same energy. For materialists, it acts as mahamaya. So material conception is so blinding that common men become very proud of their so-called knowledge, and they present so many theories and philosophies of life and everything else related to life. So they are something like Dr. Frog. So this Dr. Frog knew everything about his well. You could ask him anything about his well and he could tell you. Then another frog from big ocean came in that well, and Dr. Frog asked, "Where are you from?" And he said, "I'm from Atlantic Ocean." That's also a body of water. So then Dr. Frog tried to compare Atlantic Ocean with his own well. Is it twice as big? Is it 10 times as big? So this is how the modern so-called intelligent people, they try to conceive of the Supreme with their tiny knowledge. Actually, Krishna says that I am present everywhere. You can access me, but you require a special vision. And Krishna provides all the guidance in Bhagavad Gita as to how you can see him. He says in 7th chapter that Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhashmi shashi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabda khe paurusham nishu. So Prabhupada was explaining this verse, and he was saying that Rasoham apsu kaunteya, that I am the taste of water. And water is present in all food items. So Krishna is taste of any food item which is there. So everyone is tasting something every day, because for living we need to eat and drink. So whatever we taste is Krishna. That taste is Krishna. So we cannot miss Krishna in that sense. Then Prabhashmi Shashi Suryayo, I am the light of sun and the moon. And any light which is present is actually Krishna himself. So if we are seeing something, that is because there is light, and light is reflected from the object, and that's why we are able to see that object. So if we are able to see light or see anything, that means we are seeing Krishna. So we are tasting Krishna, we are seeing Krishna. And then Pranava sarva vedeshu, shabda khe paurusham nishu. I'm the sound in the ether. So any sound, Prabhupada explains, any sound that is produced in this material world comes from that original sound. There was the original sound vibration that represented the Supreme. So any sound we hear is actually Krishna. So that's how Prabhupada explains. So actually it's very hard to miss Krishna. We are tasting things every day. We are seeing things every day. We are hearing sounds every day. Everything is Krishna. So how can we miss Krishna? There is Krishna is present everywhere. He's all pervading. But because of this pride, materialists cannot see Krishna. Krishna covers himself, although he is present everywhere. That's why Kunti Maharani says, you are present within, you are present without. And it's very strange that still we cannot see you. So that's the mystery of Krishna. Raj Vidya, Raj Guhyam. This is very secret. If something is present everywhere, how can you not see it? Unless you are totally blind. So that's why this self-realization is very important. These sages always have advised us that please take to this process of self-realization. Then you can see Krishna, you can see yourself, and you can see how you are related to Krishna. And then in that relationship you will be very happy and you will be very satisfied. Maharaj Uttanapad was father of Dhruva Maharaj. He understood this fact also. Although he was a king, he was ruling, he had wives, he had children. But he was self-realized. And he understood that the self-realization is most important. That's the topmost priority. That's why when he saw that Dhruva Maharaj was grown up and he was now capable of taking charge of the whole kingdom, so he left for self-realization, for Vanaprastha and later sannyas. He just left his kingdom. He did not wait for Dhruva Maharaj to get married. Although this is a duty of parents to see their kids married, and he could have stayed, but he thought there is no need. So he just left straight away. So that pastime in fourth canto, Prabhupada, in that pastime he mentions that this is how we should be. We should see that how self-realization is the topmost priority, and we should see the urgency. We shouldn't delay it. Sometimes there are different things we need, because we are in material world, we need to take care of so many things. If someone is studying in the uni, you have to spend time there. If someone, if there is a parent, you have to raise children, you have to work. So there is a lot of considerations we have to make. But as soon as we get time, as soon as the opportunity arrives, we should just hit the target. Shouldn't wait. And that's what's exhibited by Maharaj Uttanapada. So in today's verse we see how it's mentioned that the princes, Yadu and Bhoja princes, offended the great sages. A few days back I think Aniruddha Prabhu mentioned that pastime. I'll briefly mention that pastime again. So once all these princes, Samba and other sons of Krishna through his different wives, they were, of course, they were royal princes, so they had their sporting activities. So one time they became a little more frivolous, and they saw there were some sages at a place. The place's name is Pindarak. It was near Dwarka. So there were some sages headed by Narada and Vishwamitra. So they were performing some sacrifice worship like that. So they dressed Samba as a woman who was supposed to give birth to a child, and they approached the sages and asked about that, what would the child be, a boy or a girl, like that. So the sages became very furious. And they said, this girl will give birth to a club, iron club, which will destroy your dynasty. So they came to their senses, they became very afraid. And when they saw, it was indeed a club there. So they immediately took that club to the kingdom and presented it to the king, Ugrasen. And Ugrasen got it, grinded it to powder, except for a small piece of iron which was left, and they threw it into the ocean. So that small lump was eaten by a fish, and later that fish was caught, and that iron lump was fashioned into an arrow, which ultimately was cause of disappearance of Krishna. And the other powdered grains were brought to the shore in Prabhash Kshetra, and that gave rise to these different iron canes. And using these iron canes, all these yadus, they killed each other. One time they went there and they drank liquor made of rice, I think, and they fought with each other. So this is Krishna's plan. It is said in today's verse in translation, as desired by the Lord. So Krishna comes by his will and he disappears by his will. That is the meaning of pastime. It's not controlled. It is under his control. So he does. He comes whenever he likes and he can go whenever he likes. He's always present. He can manifest to the ordinary vision whenever he likes. So he is the supreme controller. He can do anything with time, space, with all his energies. He can do anything as he likes. So that is Supreme Lord. So when we hear these pastimes from pure devotees, we can understand the motives behind Lord's activities. So here the princes, they acted in a wrong way. So all these pastimes are there to help us mature in our spiritual life. So we see that although these princes were Krishna's relatives, but still they when they made mistake, they were punished. So whoever we are, we should try to be very careful. So Prabhupada mentions here that we should try not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee. So one way or the best way not to commit offense is to, like, there are so many offenses. There are 10 offenses against holy name and other offenses, seva, aparadha, and so on. So the best way is to do the opposite. If you are always trying to do the opposite, you will never do that thing. So for example, never blaspheme a devotee. So we should always endeavor to glorify a devotee. So that's the opposite. So if we are always trying or thinking about how to glorify a devotee, what is good in that devotee, so then we will never blaspheme any devotee. But if we are not doing any glorification, so then, because that's the nature of material world, it degrades you. So we will eventually blaspheme. Krishna himself actually admits that this is the nature of this material world. Whatever dharma I establish, eventually it is destroyed. Evam parampara praptam evam rajarshiyo vidu sa kalene hamata yogo nashta parantapa. So kalene hamata, by this force of time, this yoga gets nashta, destroyed. So we have to endeavor to do the opposite of the bad thing. Otherwise we will be carried away by the wrong thing. So these boys, they offended the sages. And one can say the sages should be very peaceful and calm and forgiving. Why did they curse? They should forgive. They should have forgiven all the princes. But we see that the sages were acting in an exemplary way also, because it is a duty of seniors to correct the juniors if they are doing something wrong. If they don't correct them, then they'll keep doing wrong, and then in future they will do something even greater. So that they acted in a very nice way, actually, Narad Muni and other senior sages who were present there. So this is a duty of a Madhyam Adhikari. For Uttam Adhikari, he actually, for him, everything is good because he is on that spiritual platform. But for preaching, one has to come to Madhyam Adhikari platform. That's what Prabhupada did also. So a Madhyam Adhikari makes distinction. What is right, what is wrong. So there's famous verse in 11th canto which defines who is a Madhyam Adhikari. So it is said there, Ishware tad adhineshu balisheshu dushat sucha prema maitri kripopeksha yah karoti sa madhyama. So who is a Madhyama Adhikari? Who is a devotee who is acting on the intermediate second class platform? He sees four things distinctly. He discriminates between four things. What are the four things? Ishware, first is he recognized that who is Supreme Lord. And then he tries to develop love for Supreme Lord by engaging in devotional service, loving devotional service. And then, tad adhineshu, who are the devotees of Lord? He recognizes them, that these living entities, these are the devotees of Lord. And then he tries to develop friendship with them. And then there are two types of non-devotees. He recognizes them as well. So two types of non-devotees are balisheshu dushatsu. Balisha and those atheistic type of people. So there are the innocents and the atheistic type of people. Both don't know about Krishna. But one class are like innocent. They don't know as yet. But if you tell them nicely, they would understand and then they would become devotees in future. But this fourth class is, they are the demons, atheists. And Prabhupada in one morning walk, he was saying, How for the innocent, you preach to them, and for the atheists, you kick them on the face. Means you just reject them. But then Prabhupada said, sometimes we talk to these atheists also, because that's the mercy of a devotee. Sometimes he tries to help them as well by presenting philosophy, but usually we don't. Because we will be affected. Because if we are not very strong, we will be affected. So it's better to neglect them. Upeksha, that's called upeksha. Just neglect them. If we try to argue and someone is full on atheist, then we will be affected. Because we are not so strong. But someone who is very advanced and strong, sometimes out of his kindness and to establish the principles of bhakti, he may speak to atheists as well. So this is the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. So Madhyam Adhikari makes these distinctions. And in fourth canto it's mentioned that if when you make these distinctions, Lord is very pleased with you. He gets very pleased. Because in this material world we'll meet all types of people. Some will be atheists, they will offend us, so we should be very tolerant. And some are innocent people, we should show mercy towards them. So it's mentioned there that we should have, when we deal with people, when we greet people, we should have these four qualities in us. So these four qualities are very important in dealing with people. And if we have these four qualities, then Lord will be pleased. So these qualities are titikshaya, karunya, maitra and samatvaina. Tolerance, mercy, friendship and equality. So we should be tolerant if someone offends us or if we are trying to preach to someone. Because it's Kali Yuga, it may take time, so we have to be tolerant. And we should show mercy to others, all living entities. And we should be friendly towards all living entities. And we should be equal, shouldn't be partial. We should give mercy equally, as much as possible. So in the pastime mentioned in fourth canto, again coming back to Dhruva Maharaj, he one time also offended senior devotees. He offended Lord Shiva and he offended his brother Kuvera. So when he was grown up, one time his brother Uttama went to forest for hunting, and one of the yakshas killed him. So to avenge his brother's death, he went to the capital city of yakshas and started killing them. They were very powerful and they had all mystic powers, but he used his own strength and his astras, and he was killing all of them. So there it's mentioned in that pastime that it was correct on his part to become angry and kill so many yakshas and try to avenge his brother's death. But actually he got carried away. So there it's mentioned that we shouldn't get carried away, because we are serving Krishna and sometimes we have our own motives as well. So we shouldn't get carried away with that. So his grandfather Swayambhuva Manu saw that he's killing too many yakshas. Only one of his brothers were killed, and now he was actually trying to wipe off whole yaksha class, the whole species. So he was trying to get rid of all of them. So Swayambhuva Manu went there and told him that there's no need to kill all of them. You have killed enough, so please stop now. So then he stopped, and then Swayambhuva Manu told him that you have offended Lord Shiva, and Kuvera is his brother and all the yakshas are under Kuvera. So you should go and speak to them with pleasing words and ask for forgiveness. So then he did like that. So we have to be very careful in dealing with all living entities, not to speak of devotees. If we are careful with everyone else, of course we will be careful with devotees. So as devotees, we have to set a very good example, and we have to be Krishna's representative. As we know, the Guru is Krishna's representative, and we all have to become, maybe not Diksha Gurus, but like an example in that sense. Actually, it's Mahaprabhu's order for all of us. He said, Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna Updesh. That whoever you meet, you give Krishna's message and you become a guru, he said. So every one of us have to become a guru. Even if we are not preaching, if we have family, then parents are guru of kids. Husband is guru of wife. So that's the ideal situation. So we all have to become guru in some sense. So we have to become Krishna's agent. We have to represent Krishna we have to represent his teachings as he's presenting in Bhagavad Gita. One time one devotee asked Prabhupada that, you know, we are all suffering, we are your disciples, we had so much bad karma, but sometimes you are also suffering. You have cold and this disease, that disease, and you are a Nitya Siddha devotee. How are you suffering? You have not done any misdeeds. He said, Prabhupada said, I have done one misdeed because I have accepted unqualified disciples. That's my misdeed. Because Krishna never accepts such fallen people. But the devotee is more merciful. In Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami. So Krishna is so pure that he can purify us. So when we contact Krishna, he takes away all our sins. Now when a devotee acts on behalf of Krishna, he also gets the sin. Because especially for the Diksha Gurus, also for Shiksha Gurus, you have to absorb a lot of sin from your disciples. So we have to be very strong. So this thing shouldn't discourage us. That, oh, you know, it's so dangerous to preach, you know, that you will get the sins of your dependents or your disciples. But actually, if we don't do that, we'll anyway be, you know, trapped in this sin of this material world. Material world and Kali Yuga is so degrading already. So we have to become Krishna's agent and try to help people. But then Prabhupada said that, because I'm working on his behalf, I'm absorbing so much sin from my unqualified disciples. He helps. So Krishna helps his pure devotees. So they are absorbing sin, so Krishna takes it away from them. So their disease is not very serious, just temporary and external. They don't actually suffer like ordinary living entities. So we have to become Krishna's agents. Otherwise, there is only one option. We'll become Maya's agent. So how can we act as Maya's agent? So that's very interesting to understand. In general terms, if you see that in material world, if someone says, I am this company's agent or this man's agent, what does that mean? That means that if there is a company or a big person, a rich person, and you are acting as his agent, that means he will provide you everything, what you need. He will care for you. But Maya is different. If you act as Maya's agent, what will you get in return? Repeated birth, death, disease and old age. She is merciless. Although she is Krishna's devotee, and in Bhagavatam, second canto, it's mentioned, Vilajyamana, she feels very shameful because her service is very thankless. So even if you act as Maya's agent, Maya will make sure that you are punished. So how do we act as Maya's agent? How does Maya act? In first canto, it's described that this Kali Yuga is the age where Maya is acting with full force. And Parikshit Maharaj understood that Kali Yuga has come. So he gave Kali Yuga four places to stay. Abhyarthidas tadatasmai sthana ni kaliye dadau dyutam panam striya suna yatra dharmash chaturvida. So the four pillars of adharma: meat eating, gambling, illicit sex and intoxication. So if we are provoking someone to act sinfully, so we are acting as Maya's agent. So that's what the definition is. So it's not very difficult to understand. So how we act, how we dress, how we speak. So we have to see, we have to introspect, and we have to understand that, are we acting as Krishna's agent or are we acting as Maya's agent? So this was a very interesting article which I read. It was by Sankarshan Adhikari Prabhu. It was posted on ISKCON News website. The title was Beards in ISKCON, the Hare Krishnas or the Hairy Krishnas. So what he was mentioning, that many devotees, they are having beards, big beards, even initiated devotees. So the underlying principle there was that we have to become like Vaishnavas. We are representing Krishna. So we have to dress like Vaishnavas and act like Vaishnavas. So I'll read this purport, a small paragraph from Prabhupada's purport in 6th canto, which Prabhu quoted in his article. It says, in our Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, the dress of a Vaishnava, with a shaved head and tilak. They are taught to be always clean in mind, dress and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. What is the use of changing one's dress, sometimes wearing long hair and a long beard and sometimes dressing otherwise? This is not good. One should not waste time in such frivolous activities. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. So this, all these things, how we dress, you know, the hairstyle, haircut, this is all bodily features. So if we are wasting too much time in these things, that means we will stay on bodily platform and we'll act as Maya's agent. So how do materialists work? How do they think? Their whole day is about grooming themselves. How? What is my hairstyle? What is my haircut? What is the dress I'm wearing? And if as devotees also we are concentrating on those things, then we are pretty much Maya's agents. So the dressing sense is very bad in this day and age, Kali Yuga and Western world. It's just full on Maya. So either they wear less clothes or they wear very tight clothes so that the form is visible very clearly. Because what is the sense object for eyes? It's the form. So form has to be visible, both for men and women. They are concentrating so much on the bodily form and they have to show it to others. What if you are doing bodybuilding and you just cover it all? It doesn't make sense. So why are they doing all the bodybuilding? To show. So that's why the clothing has to be suitable for that. So someone was telling me recently, you know, for cycling, they wear the full tight thing because it's easy for physical activity, sports, it's easy. So then I was arguing that no, Vaishnava clothes are best for any activity. In spiritual world, everyone wears dhotis and saris. And rasa dance, they are doing all types of dance moves, right? So what are they wearing? They are full. They are not full. They are just not just moving only slow steps. They are doing fast moves. And when Krishna plays with his cowherd boyfriends, they are like jumping, going up on trees, and they are wearing dhotis. So these arguments are false. So Vaishnava attire is the best attire. We should be proud of it. Sometimes we have to wear other dresses. That's okay. But we shouldn't be showing off in those dresses. That's the point. Sometimes we have to. Whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. So we should be proud of our heritage, of our culture. And then we become Krishna's agents rather than Maya's agents. Just a short experience I had last week, I think. I was in a tram. And there was one Maya's agent dressed in, a lady dressed like a Maya's agent. And it was evening time, 5 o'clock. That time the trams are fully packed. You can't even move. And anyway, she had to get off the tram. The stop had come. And when she tried to go out, I could see 5 or 10 people had to move because in one hand she had a massive pack of toilet paper. So she made a commotion and then everyone had to move and then let her go. Big pack, maybe 3 months supply or something. So then I tried to put on the Shastra Chakshu and see the situation. Of course, one thing I saw that you are saying we are modern, these trams and trains, and you are packed like chicken, you know, in a cage. So that's not modern thing. That's one thing. But main thing regarding Maya's agent, I could see that on one hand, she was dressed in a way that, okay, see my body, right? And on the other hand, you have toilet paper. You are saying that this beautiful body is filled with stool and I'm going to pass loads of stool for next 3 months. So that was an ironic situation, you know. So this is how we get blinded. How amazing is Maya? We are still attracted. So the fact is in front of us, but we cannot see it. Right? So this Bhagavatam presents the fact as it is. That's why Arjun says in Bhagavad Gita, Rupam Ghoram. When Krishna showed the universal form to him, he said this form is ghastly. This form is ghastly. Because he could see birth, death, everything. He could see everything in one place. So when we approach Krishna and his devotees, we try to become Krishna's representative, then Krishna reveals his beautiful Shyam Sundar form, then we won't be attracted by anything in this material world. And as we sing in Damodar Ashtak, we won't be even attracted by liberation. Every day actually we are thinking about liberation. What is liberation? Liberation means we want to get out of birth and death. Means we want to get out of our problems, material problems. Right? We have small material problems. We want to get out of it. That means we want liberation. That tendency is there. But if we are attracted to Krishna, then we won't care about anything, anything material and even liberation. We'll always be busy in serving Krishna. So that's what we have to keep in mind. We have to become Krishna's representative and we have to see urgency of our devotional progress. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed today.
Yes.
So when we deride liberation, it's usually the fifth liberation of the Mayavadis to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. But there are four Vaishnava liberations which Vaishnavas sometimes may accept. So we don't deride them. They are Vaishnava liberations. So any other question or comment? Spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. He is the servant of Krishna. One is Sevak Bhagwan and one is Savya Bhagwan. Sevak Bhagwan is the servant Godhead and one is the supreme Godhead. So spiritual master has his own relationship with Krishna and he acts in the spiritual world like that. And we assist spiritual master in serving Krishna. Yes, that's very logical.
So, and so that means, like, so then we can't, then how do we, like, pray to Krishna for help if we, you know, it's like displeased with us? Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, can you explain?
If we like, offended spiritual master, so we displeased spiritual master, then how can we ask for guidance, like, or pray, like, feeling like we need to pray to Krishna for help if we.
That's why there's a third offense that we should follow the instructions of spiritual master, we shouldn't offend. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada, yasya prasadad na gati kutopi. Without pleasing spiritual master, there is no way to reach Krishna. So we cannot please Krishna without pleasing spiritual master. So that's our Vaishnava philosophy. Any last question? One last. Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandayi.